You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Thank you for clicking play. This is episode 290 of the IT in the D Show. Rock star guest this week is Jason Howard. He's the president and SVP of U.S. delivery for Axion Labs. They are innovative gods, and they will talk about all their things with the stuff and the coding and the stuff
you don't get.
The principles of the things.
Yeah. The things.
The things that are gloss over my eyes. And also, we got a very, very special update on the naming of the Golden Butthole. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
It's I Love the 90s, and this is 1990.
Guess who? It's me again with a little attitude for all you out here in white bread land.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go, 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 go.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Everything was that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
When I was 11, I walked in on my father, the Shetland pony he gave me for my 10th birthday. Does that excite you?
I don't know. I never met your father.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
I have been having a very bad day. Just got out of jail this morning. I was on the bus and flipped over 17 times. Bitch shot and stabbed me in the bathroom. Somebody blew up my porch. I am in a bad goddamn mood.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
Hey, guys. It's Timehawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Who told you to think? I don't give you enough information to think.
Hey, everybody. This is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man. Yeah.
Everybody thinks they have a sense of humor, but then they don't.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
It allows me to seriously aggravate a situation without actually changing the course of history.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the Nooch. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
He didn't just hit him. You beat the shit out. What the hell were you doing? Holding him down.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
From Detroit, this is the IT and D Show. This is Tiny Lister, Devo from a hit movie Friday. Keep your lights on, because I still got the bicycle. Now get that mic out my face.
Stores are never nice to people. They're nice to credit cards.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed!
Sir, had you better buckle up?
Buckle this!
ludicrous speed. Go!
Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode 290 of the one and only IT and the D Show. We're broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG is in Seattle. I joked with him that he's at some protest, but no, he's actually there for work. And Randy, I do the Twitters, is in studio. Find us online, itandthed.com. And do us a favor, give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us anywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
And I believe Randy, I do the Twitters, has finally recovered from leaving his last job.
I did introduce him today to our illustrious guest as the vice president of social media and community outreach.
I do that too.
Right. But yeah, we had a great event at Embro on Thursday. I got the very first cup of Founders KBS 19, which was amazing. And I also got a cup of CBS 18, which they just tapped for us. It was a very cool crowd. We had a pretty solid turnout. Packed basement. Chelsea's awesome. Rusty's awesome.
And the party continued.
And the party continued.
Yeah, they went to Valentine and elsewhere.
And elsewhere. And elsewhere. No, we
Keep up with us on Facebook if you want to know what we're doing. Yeah.
Third Thursdays, like I said, mark your calendars. We're always going to be somewhere. Next month, we're going to be at the Detroit Shipping Company downtown, Midtown Detroit.
Yep. And then Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor is next week, first Tuesday.
At the Pretzel Bell.
April 2nd, Pretzel Bell.
Where I found the bell somewhere, and then they have pretzels downstairs. So, yeah.
Giant pretzels. So, we'll be downstairs at the bar.
If you've never been down there, it's like the coolest basement you wish you had.
Oh, it totally is.
It's one of the more awesome basement venues that I've ever been to. Yeah.
Yeah. So. The only other thing we got going on is free podcast day is coming up first Saturday of the month. I believe that's not this weekend, but next weekend.
Awesome. So what?
Are always fun.
What happened with the Lyft on Thursday's event,
dude? So our friend Lyft, she's been coming to our events for a while now.
Beth.
Sorry, been coming to our events for a while now. I'm brain dead. It's been a day. And so her Lyft driver was just angry at life, I think, because the video she posted on Facebook, because she was genuinely concerned for her own safety, was this guy ranting, using every four-letter word in the planet. And so she asked him to pull over real quick and then basically jumped out of the car and said, yeah, I'm not getting back in the car with you. Posted the video to Facebook, shot a note to Lyft and was like, what the hell? Lyft's response was to close her Lyft account. Not take action. Well, and apparently they may have taken action against the driver now, but their initial response was to close her Lyft account because she violated their terms of service by posting that video where she was concerned for her own effing safety.
See, now here's the thing. I went down these wormholes. I go on YouTube wormholes all the time. And if they the crazy Uber passengers and crazy, there's Uber drivers that have made side livings. Posting
off videos,
editing, saying I'm the one. There's a guy in California, it's fun Uber driver. So he tries to get the people to be funny and And there's other ones that are there's a guy in Grand Rapids with a big long beard that only picks people out at 2 a.m. and they're all crazy and drunk and post those. So
so us.
You wonder if Lyft? No, I'm always passed out. I'm never. But is this Lyft's way of trying not to be YouTube sensational, bad PR videos? Do you follow what I'm saying?
No, I get it.
I'm not going to not order an Uber because I saw some butthole drunk in Grand Rapids beating up the Uber driver. You know what I'm saying?
But I didn't get it, and I still don't. Why their immediate response was to knock off her account. That's crappy. Granted, you have alternatives. You have Uber. You have whatever else. But, for all they knew, they cut her off from transit at that point at a random location where she got out of a vehicle with an unsafe driver.
So now here's the thing. Who does she complain to?
But if
they killed her account, it's not like you can go to the FAA or – you know what I mean? There's – who's governing – you can't call the cops and say Lyft Because what is Lyft? I don't know.
A pimp.
Some dude in California in front of a...
No, we've said this a million times. We just put two consenting adults together and take a percentage off the top. Whatever happens after that is on them.
Right.
That's a pimp defense.
Right. But again, she can't... Who's she going to complain to? She can't call the cops.
No. I mean, social media. That's who you complain to.
Right. Then you share it and say, I'm mad. And I'm not going to take it anymore. Right, because I'm going to stop. It's like the Target breach. I'm not going to stop using Lyft now. I never used it anyway because the pink mustache party we had to go to that one time. I banned them in my mind ever since. I'm like, this party's stupid and the pink mustaches are stupid.
They have started getting more and more drivers out in my area, which is like that was the main reason I never used them is because I couldn't find one.
Right. Oh, no, they're everywhere now. You see the glowing thing in the windshield all the time. And another – this is a monumental moment for IT and the D, by the way, not necessarily the podcast but for the meetup group that we've banned our second – so imagine this. We banned somebody back in 2002 who full well deserved it, basically turned our event into – tried to turn it into his little party. And we – you know, it's like setting up a barbecue stand in a Burger King and trying to sell burgers.
No, like, setting up a burger joint inside of a Burger King is what it is. Yeah.
Well, barbecue. Yeah. Like anyway. We've banned our second person. It's only been, 17 years?
Mm-hmm.
But congratulations.
Well, I mean, let's be real. We've kicked a lot more. We've kicked a lot of people out of the LinkedIn group. We've kicked a lot of people out of stuff over the years.
No, but not a ban.
But like a full-on ban.
Where an announcement was made to him.
Oh yeah, that you're banned, and so all of the domains have been registered. The don't be that guy.
No, the reason
forthcoming.
No, so the reason why is like, hey, here's why we banned you. I sent kind of a semi. I don't know if it was polite, but then
you were awfully nice. You were a lot nicer about it than I would have been.
That's why I talk to the customers and you don't. but it ended up I'm harassing him. I'm a bully.
You caused him emotional distress.
He's going to report me to Meetup for causing emotional distress. So I'm like, wait, this is where this is going to end? Like at first he was kind of on the offensive and then did that.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end he goes, well, I know you guys get kickbacks from your bars. That's why you don't. That's why you're trying to bully me. Like,
let's be abundantly clear. We have been offered kickbacks from bars before that we have turned down. We pay our own bar tabs. At the goddamn events that we
can
go
I,
to.
I'm gonna go a little step further. 12 years, every third Thursday, we've been at an event. I have never, except for somebody buying it for me, I've never taken a free drink from a bar that we've been at.
Correct.
I've never gotten happy hour pricing unless they already existed. I never asked. Hold on. I've never once asked a bar
I should have had the
to give thing. Us. No, it's quite all right. I've never once asked a bar to give us special pricing, let alone me.
Nope.
If there was a happy hour that existed, we used it. Otherwise, we paid whatever market, whatever price was that they had at the time.
Not only that, but between 2009 until 2013, every pink slip party event we threw, which had venue fees, which had us buying lanyards and badges and all the other stuff that went along with that – we paid for out of pocket.
Well, we had a couple sponsors for those.
Not until 2013.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In the beginning.
It was
the early ones, yeah. We got Dice for one, but other than that, yeah.
Yeah.
When we had to take the big venues, yeah.
Yep.
We paid all that out of pocket. So, granted, it's the same. It's no different than like the PTA moms accusing me when I DJ the dances of taking money. And I'm like, no. The reason I'm DJing is so we don't have to pay someone.
Yeah.
Like that was the point. But yeah, good riddance. Good riddance.
So yes. Don't be that guy forthcoming.
Oh yeah, this one's going to be a doozy. Lots of screenshots.
Yeah, we're going straight from step one to step three on this one.
Yeah, because we never called anyone out by name. I think this one, you're getting called out.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve
as he deserves.
Point. Yeah, he. You threatened some of our
several members.
We wrote about you, Keyboard Commando. That's you. Because you didn't say anything to their face, then you went home and then you wrote a scathing email and trashed them and promised that there would be hell to pay if they showed up again.
There will be repercussions.
Right. If you come on. But yeah, you're banned and I'm happy. It's amazing. Should we jump right into the golden butthole?
You're right.
So the top five. So the articles came out and this is what kills me. The quote that they gave. Was we had some humorous submissions. Bob and Steve and Terrence were some, and that was funny. But no, it's the golden. It's still.
It's always going to be. Like, you are Pine Knob. Just accept it.
Right.
Pine Knob is always going to be Pine Knob.
CVS is still Arbor Drugs to me. I'm old.
Yep. Well, like I said, my biggest point of confusion came Saturday. You know, we went downtown. You know, we went downtown Saturday morning for that event. And as I'm pulling out, I realize there's the big stone circle at the thing in Detroit. Why is that not the big giant stone butthole of Detroit?
So I'm gonna tell you why, because that was done. The unions put that out there, and they said it was a cog for the union, and they gave a story and explained why it's there, and no one like, okay, cool, right, whatever, because it's part of the Hart Plaza. Yeah, I heard the whole story, so that didn't bother me. This was Hall Road, which has been there for 20 years as Hall Road or whatever, 25 years, and we're trying to rename it the Golden Corridor, and then using all this taxpayer money, because that one was UAW, the thing. There was a donation.
Oh, yeah. It was, what, $300,000+?
So the mayor paid $300,000 for this and the Golden Corridor right by Lakeside Mall dying.
Which no one's ever called it the Golden Corridor.
Right. So everyone hated it from the minute. It wasn't like, you know, like, again, the thing downtown that's red, the Stargate thing. Yeah. That was – nobody hated it because it was, again, not taxpayer money, because most art like that is donated.
Right.
Or it's like tribute – right, like Sports Illustrated paid for the Joe Louis fist.
Right.
So nobody hates it because the city didn't use $300,000 of taxpayer money.
Right.
So now you're going to get mocked for the rest of my life, which is – I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
So – but it's a good thing we had our little throwdown with Skippy McDouchebag before – let's see. What is it? Wednesday. Because Wednesday
– it's Prince Spaghetti Day.
The new cyberbullying laws go into effect.
Oh,
And you can't harass people online anymore in Michigan.
You know what? Here's the thing. I want to know, where's that line? Because like, he accused me of harassment and bullying, mm-hmm. and I'm like, all I did was say you did some
stuff. Stole our content
and stole our venue. And
you're trying to be us.
You stole another group that didn't renew their meetup.
Didn't belong to you.
Right.
You haven't built shit.
Right.
You're useless.
So is that harassment and bullying?
Just in case you're listening.
Again, where's – no.
You're useless.
Right.
Nobody likes you.
Make sure you publish this tomorrow.
Everybody hates you.
But
you should go eat some worms. But, or a bag of dicks.
See, that's harassment, Dave. That's over the line. But see, who sets the line? Right? It's like Revenge of the Nerds 2. Like, who makes who draws up – like, where do you draw that line? Are they going to have an arbitration team?
They have guidelines, and apparently it's all about if you're – it really boils down to if you're suggesting someone harm themselves or you are inciting others to harm someone, that's really where it comes
from. So half of Reddit responses kill yourself.
Right.
So we're going to indict half of Reddit.
Yes. At least the ones in Michigan.
Three quarters of 4chan.
Yes.
And pretty much every message forum that's public.
It'll all be gone.
All on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye.
It is what it is.
You're all under arrest. The weird one is, and there was an old joke from a comedian. I'll never forget. It was like half hour comedy hour in the 80s.
Okay.
And he goes, when you're watching a dirty movie in room 7, how do you not know you're the dirty movie in room 8? He goes, you got people walking up to you on the street going, aren't you Bronco Bob? How'd you get that lampshade up your ass? But a story comes out of South Korea where basically there was a spy cam in every room.
And they were
posting it online.
Streaming online.
1,600 people.
So, hey, shout out to that hotel for having great connectivity.
42 rooms in 30 accommodations in 10 cities around the country.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if the business was in it or if it was some weird-ass janitor.
The IT guy that just came in and set everything up.
So listen to this. So the site that they set up for this to watch this, like South Korea is weird. Like there's sites like where they watch people eating.
The food rooms.
It's a very lonely culture. So like the streaming services are a very big deal. 4,000 members. They only had 100 of them though, but they were paying $45 a month to replay. You could watch the streams, but to pay premium was to replay the streams and and save them. They brought in $6,000. That's how far they got before they got busted. But basically they also said, how do you catch these cameras?
Yeah.
So you're supposed to turn off all your lights in your room. You're supposed to open up your cell phone camera. And apparently it shows up as the red dot shows up as a cross. or I don't know.
Okay.
Somebody is going to correct, or hopefully you correct me. But there's a way, like they say, if you're freaked out about going into a room, that's the way you basically have to can curtail
yeah, your
it.
Your cell phone camera will pick up infrared signals.
Right.
So you can see it in the camera aperture.
I don't know if it shows up as a cross or shows up as the red dots accentuated. Ooh. I don't – yeah. But yeah.
To see what it looks like, point your TV remote at your phone camera and you'll see oh. how it looks. It's oh. not visible to your eye, but you'll see it.
But yeah, I don't plan on going to South Korea anytime soon, so I think I'm safe. And then God help anyone that wants to watch me in a hotel room. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, it's you drunk with like just Funyuns littered everywhere.
No, Cheetos is my thing.
Yeah. I've seen Funyuns and
yeah,
combos.
You can't find Funyuns that much.
Combos.
Yeah, combos, yeah, fine.
That's true. So let's see real quick. Facebook, in case you missed it, stored a whole bunch of passwords in plain text. That was awfully nice.
Hundreds of millions.
That was cute.
Where?
Oh, just in a database that people anybody could get access
like an
to.
An Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah, basically. Like Google Drive, I don't know.
Facebook underscore passwords underscore 2017, yeah. Like that type of thing?
They said they found it in a security audit, but why didn't any other security audit before this one find it?
Paid off? Because it's Facebook. Facebook was weird today, by the way. I checked it like three times, and all it was like BuzzFeed, Tasty, Free Press, sponsored, a friend. BuzzFeed, Tasty, like basically there was like 10 either pages I liked and like stuff, sponsored stuff.
Right.
And then like one friend thing. And I'm like, I'm done today. Like whatever. This is like I did it twice. And, then I had to do it a third time going, this is so stupid. Like the BuzzFeed and Tasty stuff was the same. They probably bought them. And I want those videos. Why don't they make the videos anymore? The Tasty ones where they made those like one pot and they put all the ingredients in.
Because
those,
we know video's a pain in the ass. That's why they don't.
They were awesome though. It was the only reason to watch Tasty. And now they sold to BuzzFeed. And now, I'm not kidding. Today it was take this quiz to find out what cake you are. Today.
That's BuzzFeed. We've had this conversation.
I know. It was always garlic bread.
It was one 16-year-old in Oklahoma that was like doing all of the quizzes for them.
What kind of cake are you? Like, hey, guys.
German chocolate?
I have carrot cake. Like, who gives a shit?
I love carrot cake.
I do too, but I'm not carrot cake, though. I'm just me, and I eat carrot cake.
Are you Black Forest cake?
No. And the German cake wasn't necessarily from Germany. It was Hermann. That's why the coconut's in it.
It's a woman from Texas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but Black Forest.
Right. I like Black. Oh, yeah, with the cherries and the – yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it.
I haven't seen an update on this. Did you see the story about Canton where like just apparently there are random tremors / earthquakes happening? And
I knew what it was when I read the story. It's the Zug Island, man. Dude, that's been tormenting Canada for years.
But like, so
they aimed,
the Windsor Hum that they talked about
that's
for a while.
That's Zug Island.
So, but then why Canton? Isn't Canton kind of far?
Maybe.
Like, I'm trying to think spatially map wise, like, why wouldn't it hit other places?
Oh, wait, hold on. There was an earthquake and shaking? Windows
no, like
shaking?
Constantly. Like, people's like houses are like, they
right, right.
on video.
My guess. Maybe there
was a sale at IKEA and everybody was running.
My guess is a new sex toy factory opened up there and they're testing all the vibrators at the same time.
Randy. No. Shut up, Randy.
Shut up, Randy.
.com. We're going to get the .com or whatever. Shut up, Randy. I don't care if it's .pizza. We're going to hover.com /ITMD.
I think shut up, Randy. .pizza would be amazing. by far, best story of the week. So, Bob, how many times have we had the conversation about sober Bob coming home and finding presents that drunk Bob had ordered for him?
This last year, it's been T-shirts. The one that I just got that I totally forgot was my Art bowling shirt from the dude. Yeah, which was amazing, by the way. But I bought that.
Yeah, you wore that somewhere. I can't remember where.
Toledo Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
I usually buy the Facebook T-shirts. They either have Flash Gordon or Lake Titty Cock on it, which I bought once, the motorboat champion in 1979. Yeah.
Because why not?
If you looked in my closet at all the T-shirts I've bought, I don't buy the other stuff anymore. Like I used to buy like electronics or I would have like –
crates of toilet paper.
No, I think I bought a tablet once, like a mini – like a –
a cabin.
Like I need one. No, I never bought that cabin. I almost did. It was like $80,000. It was up in West Branch. But like the industry apparently, and I don't know how they measure it because they never asked me if I was sober when I bought it. But apparently they put a number that it's $39 billion that Americans spent last year on drunk shopping.
I have no problem believing that at all.
My cousin one time bought, you know, the German hats that we have. Yeah. And you know how we collect pins and put on those hats? Well, he didn't want to wait a year to collect all the pins. So he bought for $300, bought a German hat with a pin collection already assembled. And his wife basically beat his ass. And he couldn't have been drunker as a human being. And like, it'll be awesome if I bought this German hat with all the pins already on it, I have to go collect them. And yeah, he had to sleep in the shed for a week because of that. But like, how do you know? Like, are they just making this up or do they send out like a Nielsen thing going?
Probably. And I have no problem. Dude, I just think of all the domains that we've bought. Domain, let alone product.
Drunk domains are like the key to my, like, bane of my existence. I deleted 19 domains over the last 2 weeks. I had to go through my list and going, oh my God, why did I buy that?
Stop auto renewing.
No, I just flat out deleted them. So I'm like, but I kept diarrhea.pizza because I'll need that one day.
That'll come in handy someday.
Right, someday. I can't name it at Hungry Howie's anymore.
Oh, we'll wait for Pizza Guy to open up
for me. I'm not going to name it at him. He's nice. But yeah, 39. And I seriously, like the worst thing, like Facebook, they targeted advertising. They know they own me. They own like everything about me. Like,
and it's funny, like I have noticed, like the advertised posts or the sponsored posts that show up, they know, like it's like the next day I'm not going to buy any of them. Day two, so like those are the wasted ones. Day two, I might hit one if it's really, really good and aimed right at me. But like day three, yeah, I'm probably going to buy.
No, Google Maps tells it that I'm at Muldoon's. It waits 2.5 hours and then it triggers Flash Gordon shit and they know it's like 80% chance I'm going to click buy. Like they have it down to a effing science.
So those, yeah, Chris over at his comic shop going, Bob will buy that.
Yeah, no, those bastards. Just put it in front of me. Bob will buy that junkyard dog doll from the 80s.
Bob's on his fourth shot of Jaeger.
Right. Yeah, then they tag it. Then they lock into the POS from the bar because they're friends with Square. Oh, I'm sick of them. They might as well just hang out with me.
Actually, that would be an amazing feature. Bob, do you just want us to add this to your bar tab?
Right. Facebook, just come hang out with me. I'm sick of you watching me creepily and making me figure it out. Sorry, like
just
months
sit down
later.
On the bar stool next to us right, and be right. Happy. That's
hey, all we have. Just sit there. You can just sit there and go, hey, Bob, want to buy a bowling shirt?
You want this?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Just show me the JCPenney catalog. Want that? No. How about that? Yeah, fine. Just put it on my tab.
I feel like that would be – there's got to be a way to work that into like a Halloween costume. Like to be like the Facebook ad.
Targeted engine. Ad.
Like in a trench coat with like a catalog of just random crap. Hey, want this?
Yeah.
Hey, nah. What about this?
That's all it is.
This?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. You want to buy a – for some reason I'm on like – smoothies and like hungry like vegetables. Like I'm like I don't know like, what they're target. I don't know. Probably
who's targeting you for vegetables? Because
I bought Blue Apron. Probably like he'll buy subscription bullshit. He's an idiot. It tastes great. No, it doesn't.
Bob wants a carrot.
No. Yeah. It was like then I look at it going, well, that looks good. And you know what it'll be? You know what it'll be? It'll be the goddamn zucchini spaghetti that's in the bottom of my freezer that I never eat.
That never
in
gets
30
touched.
Years. And then I got to throw it away. Anyway.
So word-wise, Know What Your Geeks Are Doing. I loved this story. A healthcare company in the U.S. who basically got locked out of their system because – God, I forget his name. I thought I wrote it down. I didn't. Their lead engineer died and was apparently the only person who could log into one particular switch. That was the one ring to rule them all. And so like, well, yeah, we can replace it, but like we don't know how to get in to configure anything. So we're kind of locked. It's like
– No, they refer to him as Nick.
Ah, yeah. So it's like, you know, basically the dead engineer version of ransomware.
But this sounds like a fake story the way they wrote it, like an Onion story, because it's like they're quoted in this going, Nick was absolutely not a good engineer, Dylan said. Like he
shut up, Dylan.
Yeah, he knew enough to get himself by on tasks such as setting up an incredibly insecure FTP server, an unstable ESXi environment, pushing out managed engine products in ridiculous ways.
Dude,
like,
I,
that's
you know,
a quote.
Honestly,
on this
though,
guy's
like,
death.
Knowing IT guys like I do, and it, like if this situation had cropped up someplace that I'd worked, yeah, no, that sounds reasonable. Yeah, no, the guy was a total jerk. Totally didn't know what the hell he was doing. This is just proof of it. I told you guys for years Nick was a moron. And here we are.
They had a four-hour replacement. The only problem is we have no idea what the config is, you know, Dylan said. Yeah. Dylan's got to stop getting quoted on this. No clue about VLANs. No clue if it had STP or trunking or anything. Like, but yeah, but he's dead. You know how many companies, if your IT guy dropped dead, how they would – it would not – this is not uncommon.
No.
There's no way it is.
Not just IT companies either, you know. Auto big three.
Oh, there's my buddy, the one that hit with the malware. They got one guy.
Yeah.
Like they're an HVAC supply company. They don't want to be in IT.
With multiple locations.
16 locations. Yeah. They got one guy who keeps his head down, doesn't talk to anybody all day. You know what we forgot to talk about? Usually we kick off with talking about Netflix and movies and crap.
Yeah.
There's a movie called Searching.
Okay.
And I'm getting to the point now because I've run out of movies to watch. That if it's like 90% Rotten Tomatoes or better on both sides.
I would tell you to watch the OA because season 2 just dropped. But you don't like to think.
No. Well, it depends. Depends on the show.
Yeah.
But it's a movie called Searching. It's got Harold from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Okay.
And basically it's his daughter's missing. And the entire
it's taken?
It's taken, but shot through the eyes of his phone and iMac. So the entire movie, it's like a – I don't want to say it's a techie's dream. Like I was into it. It was a great movie.
Okay.
My wife even liked it and she's playing this stupid app all the time. She doesn't watch movies anymore with me.
Right.
Because it's a stupid app and she actually put the stupid app down to watch this movie. And it was – the entire movie was
– Tinder?
Basically 10 minutes like not shot through like a screenshot or a Google map or a – you know like a chat box or a – so basically he's doing the forensics on – great twist at the end, like M. Night Shyamalan style.
Cool.
Like the end is going to be like, holy shit. You know, like it's one of those.
Interesting.
I didn't expect a thing from this movie.
That's one of the reasons why I'm liking the season 2 of the OA is like one of the central points is an app that's a problem solving game, basically, you know, a puzzle. And like the whole culture that grows up around that and that it, you know, crosses over from the game into the real world. And it's just very, very cool stuff.
And then I'll end on this. I love conspiracy theories, and I just read about this one and it blew my mind, and it totally makes sense now you think about it. So like all these years we've thought that Walt Disney's head's been cryogenically frozen on a table.
I feel like this is a disinformation campaign.
Somewhere, anywhere. So Disney, they put out a task force and basically created the movie Frozen. So if you ever type Disney Frozen into Google, the first 55,000 things are going to be the movie, Let It Go.
Yeah.
And not Walt Disney's head.
Yeah.
Right. So like that's the only reason they created that movie. Because it didn't follow. There wasn't anything. It made no sense why they would make it. Because it's not like all the other movies they make. It's what the hell was it? So it's kiting Walt
Disney's
head. And now
there's Frozen 2, and you have no idea what the movie's out.
Electric Boogaloo, yeah. Every 2 is Electric Boogaloo. I had to show one of my coworkers. Jesus Christmas.
What in the ever-living Are you okay?
Bless me.
That was a sneeze?
I felt like
there was a demon coming. What the? Jesus, tap dancing Christ.
Speaking of that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Jason Howard, president of Axion Labs. This is the IT and the D Show.
We'll be right back. Randy may or may not be. We'll see.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2. This is episode 290 of the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri the F&G is in Seattle taking his place as Randy. I do the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com. You want to know why? Because we are IT in the D.
And you, you're still not. And that's the best part is that someone who hangs around with us didn't realize that we do. We still take 13 seconds of every show to snark about people who pissed us off 6 years ago.
So just imagine what you're going to do to us, what you did today. I'm a big bully.
Game on, Skippy.
A big bully. That's what my friend, I was making the long short story. A good friend of mine, she was getting hit on by this guy. So I kept making fun of her going, oh, Stacey, you're so pretty. And the guy thought I was making fun of her, but like we drove together. So he's like, you know what? I had my tan Starsky and Hutch jacket. He goes, you're a big bully. You in that tan jacket. So like still to this day, it's been like 10 years. And every time I see her, she goes, you big bully, you. So like imagine how long this joke, me being called a harassment and a bully.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to last for 20 years.
Yep.
Yeah, congratulations, Skippy. But hey, being joined by us, none other than Jason Howard. He is the president, SVP of U.S. Delivery of Axion Labs, Axion.
Axion, yes.
A-C-C-I-O-N. It's impossible to pronounce, but an amazingly cool company. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Happy to be here.
Good. Anytime I talk to somebody, I'm like, yeah, so talk to me about your company real quick. And they're like, yeah, we're like up to like 2,200 employees. We're like, who are you? I never heard of you. No, but for those that haven't heard of Axion Labs, like I guess give us a real quick overview and then let's dive in.
Sure. Well, we're a tech services company. We focus on emerging tech and software innovation. So big on the software side. We started in 2011. So venture backed, started with a little $1 million investment. We were profitable the first year. And then,
sprung out of what? Was it out of a company, out of a need?
No, out of three guys. So okay. We have three co-founders who all came together. The CEO knew the head of our venture firm that owns us. They're called Basel Technology Partners. They're out of Singapore. He knew them. They believed in him and believed in him and his co-founders that they could do something. And they thought there was a need in product development and innovation space for tech services focusing there.
So, I mean, let's start off like, you know, when you say tech services company that, you know, you could be doing break fix on printers, right? But obviously you're not doing that. When you talk about like, again, what sprung that need? Like when you talk about innovation, I think of 50 different things in 80 different ways. Like when you think of it, what is it to you?
Sure. Well, it started, I mean, this was the onset of agile development and, you know, buzzword alert, right? Agile, but they –
don't go chasing those waterfalls, you know. Sorry, I had to.
He saw a need for applying agile development and really a need for high-level technical development in more of the tech startup space. So, you know, we started with people who were tech companies, product dev companies, creating SaaS platforms, those types of things. And we really started our bread and butter there, working with being their development house, you know, well-funded and, you know, even angel-funded, you know, people on the front end starting there. And then, you know, grew and eventually about 3 years ago, we just started getting big. Like you were talking about our size. We passed about 1,500 engineers 3 years ago.
That's crazy.
We just naturally started moving a lot more into the enterprise space, working with larger companies and helping them to do innovation. So having done it with smaller companies, you know, traditionally it's something that's hard for large corporations to do, to learn how to innovate, use emerging tech. And so we've been helping out with a lot of enterprises now and doing it. And we've grown to, you know, now 2,200 plus engineers.
Right, right. So are you a subscriber to the data is the next big industry boom? Like the cotton gin, the gas engine, the internet, and now data. I'm hearing of it from IT firms, and I think it's marketing. But I hear from other people that no, it's totally the next big, you know. And
how much time do we spend talking about stories that have to do with data acquisition?
No, right. No, I know. And then, you know, we talk about big data a lot because it's, you know, because it's big. Mm-hmm. But to call it an industry boom needs to be like absolutely. Gotcha. World and life changing. And I think it's there, but you know, we talked a little bit offline about, you know, AI, machine learning, and I think those terms get misused a lot, but I think that's where this whole thing comes into play. Like you have all this data, right? You were talking, I think, what are retail applications, right? Like Talk to me about that, because that was fascinating, like what they're doing from like product life cycle through the retail chain.
Sure. And definitely I would say yes, we're seeing big data as part of the future. We've part of the reason I was here tonight is talking about we just had our yearly innovation summit, and we sort of brought up on screen, our CTO brought up on screen the history of what we've been talking about for the last 5 years of our innovation summit, and big data's been there throughout it. And now we're really getting into pervasive AI and machine learning and applying it to large data sets, especially with streaming data and, you know, data lakes now that are being created. We're able to do some amazing things. But the example you were talking about, we've actually got a customer that we're working with that's applying blockchain and using nano microchips and actually doing asset management throughout the whole sales chain, even into post sales, you know, reselling of items, helping to go against the Confederate goods market. I think she brought up a data point that 47% of goods right now are counterfeit that are being sold. And so you can, with her new application and with the tracking technology,
like
that
of
they
all
have,
goods?
That seems high.
Yeah, I think it was
like clothing maybe.
Yeah, I think it had to do with luxury goods.
Gotcha.
Which is where, you know,
like
you
my bread's fake.
Louis Vuitton never made a sweatsuit.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that song will be in my head all night.
Because I remember, this is a long time ago, that when like Walmart was just starting to get into traffic patterns. Because I'm fascinated with retail traffic patterns and how they, like, if you go way back in the day,
here's your bag of peanuts.
Yeah, yeah. That was the original, was they'd give a bag of peanuts and throw them wherever. They'd find out where the traffic patterns went. And then it became where Walmart was putting RFID tags on, like, Coke, for example. And they would know at any point in any minute of any day where the Coke was in the back room, on the floor, and in the shopping cart, so they could plan for the shipments. But now you're talking, they're embedding microchips that these things will get followed throughout the entire life cycle of this product.
Yeah, actually embedded into the product itself. And, you know, a large thing that she was talking about is the resale. You know, how many of us go on Craigslist, we want to buy something resale. Right. You could actually see the legitimacy of that product.
Let's say, how many fake Rolexes are sold every day?
Absolutely.
I would say thousands, like between just Vegas, just street corners,
yeah.
Right, eBay, pawn stores. New York's corners.
The extra L is a rare typo. It means it's worth more.
It's ECKS is the hint. Yeah.
Bolex. It's better. B is for better. but like what other, so the, you're following, like you're doing that, or you got a project working on that. I mean, I guess talk to me about some of the other things you guys are, when you talk, again, we used to have a CIO come on, and all he would talk about is innovation, but he never talked about what the hell he did, which I'm like, great. I love the way you talk, man. But what are some of the other things that, like, you know, again, like I've never even heard of that before when you're talking about these microchip lifecycle things. So like, I'm completely mind blown.
Yeah, that was super exciting. And another one we were talking about, I think you and I were talking, you know, pre-show, big data and machine learning and AI. One of the CIOs of one of our customers, one of our partners that we work with, he came in and talked about, they're in fast moving consumer packaged goods, and they're doing analytics optimization of supply chain management.
So what
for
is that?
Manufacturers.
Fast
moving consumer packaged goods. So, you know, bottled water that you have placed in front of you right now.
Right.
You know, that's a fast.
It's a can of beer. It's a can of beer, Jason. let's be honest.
Let's be honest. Yeah, let's not create a false delusion. Right. Of what's going on?
I'm drinking water. What?
But yeah, fast moving, you know, things that would be
bag of chips, pack of gum.
Stores,
got it.
In grocery stores. They're moving very, very fast on and off the shelves.
Got it.
So they're bringing in all of this point of sale data from all the retailers, all the wholesalers, everyone across the US, and they're aggregating all that data together. Well, we worked with them and we created a data lake for them, applying machine learning and AL algorithms, and they've got so much data that's coming through. I mean, I think as I think you've heard you guys talk about AL, you know, ML and AI. Data you get, the better it is. So they're bringing in all this data. I mean, millions and millions of transactions that are coming in. And think about the bottle of water, you know, you're your Ice Mountain bottle of water sitting at Target versus sitting at your local convenience store, they're going to have different metadata points
for
each of those. And their abbreviations for those metadata points are going to be different. So constantly knowing how to aggregate that same bottle of water across all that data set was ridiculous. And they're having to have humans constantly intervene and find out, well, using these algorithms that we put in this new data lake, you know, they're able to rapidly go through this data and create a lot more valuable data set for their customers.
Now, I'm just curious because, you know, I was telling you I sold beer in college, right? And like knowing the buying patterns and like being at eye level, and there was a science to the, where you wanted your beer to be in that store. Now I'm thinking of like Ice Mountain or these fast goods. Like I know how much I sold to store X, right? I know how many I was sold to, and then I know how many sold through. What else do you need to know? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. So getting in across the supply chain. So looking at the demographics of different geographic areas, the purchasing patterns of different geographic areas, you know, anticipating the snowmageddon that's coming along and, you know, and
so you're looking at
for that.
So like what the, when the retail companies are shipping or shopping lease space, they know car patterns and, you know, median salary and like the age range. Like this is what you're talking, like they're getting into that kind of
Yeah. I mean, all of that demographic data they're bringing together, as well as the sales data. But they're really going back with the manufacturers and helping them optimize, you know, where does your product need to be? Where is it really desired? How fast is it moving off the shelf? And when will
it? So optimizing.
So refining the entire just-in-time chain, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, not just that. I think it's also where to spend their marketing dollars.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If they know, you know, hey, this demographic, it's like we're like 70% market share. We're gonna work on this one that we're 15, right?
Definitely. And that's another big thing that he brought up. The CIO is you know, helping the manufacturers with where do they invest their marketing funds with the retailers and with them as well. There's a lot of marketing funds that are a part of that chain. You know, how to optimize the spend to get the goods going through.
Then they know when I bought it. Then they know how old I am. Then they know when I ate it. And then they know where I'm sitting. Now they know where I'm driving. God, they know everything about me.
And they know if you're drunk and they want to.
Right. Yeah. They will sell me T-shirts. Yeah. Right. He leaves the studio every Monday. Let's flash a Taco Bell ad at 11:05 on Mondays.
Yeah, there's one of those right up the street. That'll be good for him.
Yeah. No, it's turning into Minority Report. You know, good afternoon, Mr. Wallenspiel. Would you like another pair of jeans today? That, you know, still wear this size? No, I got fat, you know.
No, all the damn Taco Bell ads.
Yeah, right.
Big, you know. Why don't you buy these jeans now? We know you're going to fall and skin your knee soon. So
it's getting there, isn't it?
we're getting closer. I mean, it's really amazing some of the things that we're doing.
We saw you booked a hotel room for Oktoberfest. You're going to need a new pair of jeans.
In more ways than one.
So I guess what is Axion looking for now? Like as far as a customer base, client base, that kind of thing. Like what's next for you guys?
Sure. Well, I think the big thing and why, you know, I'm so happy to be here talking with you all today. We're so, you know, kindred spirits with what you're doing. You know, Axion, we see Detroit as a huge emerging market and the Midwest in particular as a huge emerging market for us. So I was actually running our Midwest office out of Chicago, and we actually shut down the physical office there. And, you know, we're in the process of transplanting it here because we see the D as such a core target for us. So we've been moving forward here and moving a lot. So last year, one of the things we announced at the summit is we just passed. We have an accelerated app development framework called Breeze. It's an all open source framework, microservices based. It's got data lake already, conversational UI, personalization, all these things already built into it. And we just passed an external third party audit in terms of licensing structure, that the IP is totally clear, the licensing is totally clear for enterprise use, and from an architecture
that matters more than people think it does.
It definitely does.
No, I know that Jason's way over my head when I'm looking at one of their case studies right now on their website. Re-engineering monolithic legacy applications to microservices for an agile manifesto. Yeah, I'm out. Like, and you wrote a case study on that? Like, cool. Good.
That was like Chinese algebra for you.
Good talk, Russ.
That summary's like what? 5 buzzword shots.
Pretty much. Yeah. Entertainment industry. Like what do you know that? What, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. So I know that customer, and it's actually that same framework, that Breeze framework. We were using that to do that case study.
Yeah, it's a success of a wearable device for the brain.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting one. So this is a startup that we were working with, and IoT connected to the device that you wear, and it was originally focused on mood changing and mood swinging and mood helping through magnetic signals that the device would send.
Okay.
And talking with the mobile app that we created, and they've actually found that it actually has applications with
Bob. You're sad. We're just going to auto ship you this Flash Gordon T-shirt.
I have friends that do that with. Hey, I picked up these Pabst tap panels. You owe me $100. It's happened to me like twice. I'm like, really? Like, I didn't text me and send me a picture and ask me if I want them. It's already becoming self aware. I know. Nice. Flash Gordon Pabst. Yeah. Just give it to Bob. Yeah.
But it actually, they've discovered it has applications for helping with autoimmune disorders, in particular with psoriasis. And so, we've been helping them, continue to develop that and go to market.
Yeah. See, now this one I'm interested in. You're talking about doing redefining traditional money management. Now, I know that there's software out there that's doing machine learning. Is there any way to predict the market? Because I got to think, because there's right now you can buy platforms at a green light, red light,
right?
To when to buy and when to sell. Is there? Are you guys working on that kind of stuff for the wealth management side, or where you're doing predictive analysis on trends, or what does that look like?
Yeah, we are doing some of that. Some of the predictive analysis. I think that particular one is it's a blockchain project that we've been doing, working with a small business loan application. So marrying together potential lenders with potential small businesses, and helping them come together and sort of make a marriage from that perspective.
Now, if you can explain blockchain on this show live. We have a trophy for you.
It's almost too bad Murray's out here. He's got that sticker that say blockchain one.
Yeah, I know, totally, totally.
Well, I'm very happy to say that I'm on the delivery side.
Right.
So we have lots of super smart people. I come back with my CTO, and he will blow your.
That's
socks
the Bob
off.
Answer.
Do you remember the old UPS commercial? We're just consultants. We don't actually do anything. Yeah.
No, it's my answer. I'm the sales guy. Let me get my SE on the phone. Hold
right.
on. We had like a whole blockchain show, and we walked out there going, I have no idea what's going on.
And three guys that like really knew what they were doing, and your eyes glazed over hard.
I was Tali that whole, I have no idea.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
What's going on? Get me out of here. So I guess your growth plans for Detroit. What's, obviously you chose to plant roots here. First you had to get a Buddy's Pizza and a bottle of Verner's and bottle of Faygo, and then what's next?
We've started hiring out our team here that couldn't transplant with us or couldn't work from home, and we're actively I'm out there getting our name out there, talking with you all. We're going to networking events, and we're meeting more people and seeing how we can get more ingrained. I was actually at this week the 100 Businesses Who Care event, so I don't know if you're familiar with that. We joined as a great.
We don't get invited to that stuff because
they know we don't care.
But yeah, we're going out there, getting involved, getting our name out there. We're not, like you said, we're a pretty large company, but we definitely don't have a large brand recognition right now, especially in this area.
So you should write an AI and machine learning algorithm to get your name out there more better.
That makes sense.
And we'll use the
like
term
Bob.
More better.
Exactly. Yeah, Facebook sponsored ads.
Mo better ads.
Are you having trouble with your big data with your 30 terabytes of big data? We can not only put it in a lake, we can analyze it for you. Sorry, I'm just looking at what a Facebook ad would do.
Exactly. So where do we find out more? Where do we find out about the gigs that you've got going on or that you're looking to fill, and just more about the company in general, that sort of thing?
Sure. Visit us at axionlabs.com.
It's ACCION.
ALABS. Yep. ACCIONLABS.com. Axion, Spanish for action. So our tagline
is now it makes
bringing
sense.
Values through action.
So why is it not Axion?
Axion, yeah. With the N with the thing on the top?
The cedilla?
No. Yeah. Is it a call
that
a cedilla?
Be, that, no. That would be Axion Nye. Oh. That's the Nye sound. The cedilla is
I didn't
Nye.
Know that. Oh.
That's a tilde.
No, a tilde is the thing over the E.
That's an accent.
Accent grave, accent aigu, tilde. No,
cedilla is under a C.
Oh, it is the C. Yeah, okay, sorry.
And that's French. There are no cedillas in Spanish.
What? Shut up, Randy.
My degree's in Spanish.
Sneeze again. So axionlabs.com.
Yes. Go there. Check us out. Check out the case studies that we've been talking about and go to our contact page. You'll find me and, you know, send me an email.
Awesome. Cool. Appreciate the stories. Thanks for coming out. Haley, thanks for not saying anything. Cool, we appreciate you. but yeah, don't be a stranger. Come out to our events. Hang out more. Like you're more, you know, we're carte blanche. All your, any, you know, whatever you guys need, let us know.
Definitely. Excited. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. Hey, we're going to wrap things up. This episode 290 of the IT and the D Show. I'd like to thank Jason Howard here from Axion Labs for giving a great one over on his company and the future of crap data. I mean, this is getting nuts.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's never going to go away.
On behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See you guys.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name? Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me. I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.